This episode is sponsored by Anchor by Spotify. If you haven't heard about Anchor, it's the easiest way to make a podcast, and Ashley and I can definitely personally vouch for this. First of all, it saves you a bunch of time, so we don't really talk about this, but Ashley and I both have full-time jobs, and we don't really live close by each other, so we just get together once a week, every week, and talk about our podcast, and Anchor.fm helps us a lot to get everything out there and ready to go for you all to listen to with not a lot of time needed. So first of all, Anchor will distribute your podcast for you, so it can be heard on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, and many more. There are also creation tools right in Anchor that allow you to record and edit your podcast right from your phone or from your computer.
Also, Anchor is free, and even though you don't have to pay any money, it actually allows you to make money from your own podcast even without a minimum number of listeners. It's everything you could possibly need to make a podcast for free in one place.
So if you can't already tell, we both love Anchor. And if you're interested in starting a podcast of your own, download the free Anchor app or go to anchor.fm to get started. Hi, listeners, and welcome to Above the Wing, a podcast to bring together all aspects of the aviation community, including engineers, journalists, mechanics, pilots, even casual hobbyists. I'm your co-host, Kim.
And I'm your co-host, Ashley. We'll talk about all things aviation, from current events to new products and airplanes to industry trends and everything in between. Looking at our first in the news article for this week, Autonomous Flight is opening their order book for their Y-65 Plus aircraft. They're inviting prospective customers to place pre-orders for their six-seat eVTOL that the company aims to start delivering in 2024. This UK-based startup also has confirmed that it's set to launch a Series C fundraising round to raise an additional $100 million to support work to get the all-electric model certified and finally into production. The company is saying that the aircraft will offer a range of around 100 miles and cruise at 125 miles per hour, and they'll support commercial flights at altitudes below 2,000 feet across large cities such as London and connecting cities across the north of the UK. So it's pretty cool to see that a company like this is, allowing people to start to pre-order just like everyday prospective customers. I feel like that's sort of a new, segment of this industry that we're finally starting to see.
Yeah, and I really like how aggressive they are at garnering support from their customers so early on. I'm really excited to see how this race and competition will play out in the next 5 years or so, because I feel like there's so many autonomous flight companies coming to play.
True.
The next headline is about Omicron, the new COVID-19 variant. Omicron-related disruptions caused over 4,000 flight cancellations over this past holiday season. Globally, 11,300 flights were delayed. In the U.S. alone, 2,400 flights were canceled. 419 of those came from Southwest alone. These flight disruptions were mostly related to COVID-related staff shortages. So since the Omicron variant is so transmissible, the virus quickly spread through the ranks, and that led to a lot of staff members being pulled from service. So hopefully this will blow over soon, as we were initially in a period of recovery for the commercial aerospace industry. So here's to hoping that they bounce back soon.
I know this is just like what we were seeing at the beginning of the pandemic. So it's really scary to see like it starting to happen all over again. Hopefully it gets better soon.
Mm-hmm. The similarity to January of 2020 is very eerie, but here's to hoping that the result won't be the same.
I know. Hopefully. Looking over at Denmark, the country Denmark wants to end fossil fuels in domestic aviation by the year 2030. Denmark recently proposed to boost investments in the green hydrogen industry, and they want the first domestic flights to use green fuel no later than year 2025. Prime Minister Frederiksen said in her annual New Year's address, "To travel is to live, and therefore we fly, but at the same time, it damages our climate. We want to make flying green." Prime Minister also acknowledged that the scientific solutions weren't yet in place and that reaching this goal might be difficult, though they are going to work at it. This is the most recent in a string of policies set to help the government meet one of the world's most ambitious climate targets. By 2030, Denmark plans to reduce carbon emissions by 70% compared with 1990 levels. The Prime Minister also pledged a more streamlined tax on emissions for businesses to ensure that the highest emitters pay the highest taxes. So it's really interesting to, you know, it's nice to see that they're taking this aggressive approach, and I guess at least they're being honest that, you know, the goal is difficult, but I guess setting those goals makes you, I don't know, work even harder towards them.
Mm-hmm. And I really like the quote that you said, to travel is to live and therefore we fly, but we have to make fly more green. I really like that. That resonated with me.
Yeah, I liked it too.
Alrighty, and now for our final headline. A Florida bill is introduced that would eliminate aircraft sales taxes. Senate Bill 786 was introduced by Senator Travis Hudson. It is hoping to eliminate the state's 6% sales tax on airplanes. The goal of this bill is to help the state stay competitive in the aviation business, so hopefully a lack of tax will bring more consumers to the state. So that wraps up our In the News segment for this week, and we'll move on to the bulk of our episode. This topic is especially exciting amidst the news breaking recently. I don't know about you, but when I checked my phone this morning, all the headlines that I saw were about this. Maybe it's just seriously. My phone tracking what I'm interested in, but there were multiple news outlets that were reporting about this. So today we'll be talking about how 5G affects commercial airlines. And there's so much buzz around this, like I said earlier. But before we really delve into the recent happenings of this controversy, we wanted to just introduce what 5G is exactly. So it all started in February of 2020. The Federal Communications Commission, or the FCC, made a portion of the electromagnetic spectrum C-band frequencies available for 5G services. The next year, the FCC completed an auction of available frequencies in that range to wireless network providers. These network providers initially planned to use C-band frequencies for 5G networks starting December of 2021, but this was pushed to January 2022 due to concerns from the FAA. So the reason why this initial C-band frequency release was delayed by the FAA is because the agency was concerned that the 5G C-band frequencies were operating too close to the frequencies of radio altimeters. A radio altimeter is a cockpit instrument that tells pilots how high planes are from the ground, and this device is essential for low visibility conditions. Altimeter frequencies are at 4.2 to 4.4 gigahertz, and C-band frequencies, so this is where 5G networks will operate, fall between 3.7 and 4.2 gigahertz. The initial deployment of C-band for 5G will be limited to 3.7 to 3.8 gigahertz, which is pretty far away from altimeter frequency at 4.2 gigahertz, but it's still close. 3.8 to 3.89 gigahertz will not be put into use in the U.S. until 2023, and 4.0 to 4.2 gigahertz, which is the closest frequency band to alternative frequencies, will be reserved for satellite dish usage only. So there is a bit of a buffer, but I can understand the FAA's discomfort with C-band for 5G operating so closely, especially if there are smaller, for example, Cessna aircraft that have pretty old radio altimeters. So, for example, if you think of an old car radio, a really old car radio might have trouble differentiating between channels that are pretty close together. So this could be a similar issue for older planes with older altimeters. And this could definitely potentially be a safety issue, in my opinion anyway, but that brings me to my next point, that there are conflicting conclusions from studies, and as a STEM person, this always makes me a little bit uncomfortable. A study done by the Aerospace Vehicle Systems Institute said that altimeters are sensitive to 5G interference and can result in potential safety concerns. However, T-Mobile also commissioned a study, and the FCC agreed with the study. The FCC said, quote, "The T-Mobile Commission study does not demonstrate that harmful interference would likely result under reasonable scenarios." So this introduces a gray area. Doesn't seem like the FCC and FAA or the aerospace industry can agree how likely interference is to happen and how big of an effect 5G could have on commercial airline operations. And then to top this all off, the FCC expects the aviation industry to, quote, take appropriate action if necessary to ensure protection of such devices. So this whole kind of squabble, I guess you could call it, made me realize that this might have some kind of political nature too. It seems like the FCC wants to push this. It's this new groundbreaking technology that could help people stay more connected, XYZ, but the FAA wants to kind of halt it a little bit and say, let's just make sure that there's no safety concerns before we kind of open this up for the public to use.
It's so strange, like that last point that you made about the FCC saying that. Like, yeah. It's just they're basically just saying like, well, we're gonna do this anyways, so like now it's gonna be your problem.
No, I definitely agree. Yeah, and I feel like they're government and they're government agencies. I've never had an experience working in a government agency, so I'm sure there are a lot of like communication and stuff that goes into this, so it might not be as easy as we're making it sound. But from someone who flies on commercial airlines and also has a cell phone, I would really like to see them get along better.
Yeah, I agree, seriously.
But I also did some more digging to see if this was an issue elsewhere outside of the US. In December of 2021, the European Union Aviation Safety Agency, which is the EU's equivalent of the FAA, also warned about potential interference from US's 5G transmitters. They actually requested flight crews to be trained to land in cases for unreliable altimeters, and they called for crews to report any altimeter problems to aircraft manufacturers. So this sounds like they're kind of just following what the FCC said about how they expected the aviation industry to adapt. And Canada did something similar in November of 2021. Canada placed exclusion zones around airports where 5G base stations could not operate. And they also placed protection zones where 5G base stations could operate with restricted power. And finally, they required 5G antennas to tilt down instead of horizontal or upward to avoid radio altimeter interference. So some of our allies / neighbors have adapted to the concerns over 5G. So I'm kind of curious about how the US will react to this too.
Yeah, it's definitely interesting to see how Canada has sort of, you know, operated around it. It'll be interesting to see like which of those we pick up, if, you know, if any. So yeah, definitely. It's like you said, nice to take notes from our neighbors.
For sure.
So amongst all of this that has happened, that, you know, sort of built up to, you know, sort of the boil over of a lot of this news, now in early January. Just this morning, we, you know, saw headlines, AT&T and Verizon and those big names are delaying the 5G rollout amidst airline safety concerns. They said that they would delay the deployment after the FAA requested that they do so to, you know, like Kim mentioned, mitigate potential interference. At the request of Transportation Secretary Pete Buttigieg, a AT&T spokesperson said in a statement, quote, "We have voluntarily agreed to one additional 2-week delay. We know aviation safety and 5G can coexist, and we're confident future collaboration and technical assessment will allay any issues." After that, the FCC commissioner wrote in a letter that his request for another delay was, quote, "highly irregular and not backed up by the science, engineering, or law." They also noted that the plan for deployment was over 660 days ago in a thorough 258-page document, and that this delay would bog down years of work and tens of billions of dollars in investment. So there definitely has been a lot of back and forth, like, leading up to this anyways. And now it's, we're just seeing, like, the FCC and the FAA just, like, trying to go back and forth at each other with, like, science and like, oh, but we told you this was happening like a long time ago. And they're like, okay, but like we need more time. So like you were saying, I think earlier, Kim, like you're right, this has definitely gotten like pretty political, which is sort of strange to see like in this industry. So yeah, like that has happened. So there is a delay. We also saw recently an advocacy group called Airlines for America, you know, a group on behalf of just the airline industry. They filed an emergency petition with the FCC to stop the deployment of 5G technologies near, they listed 135 airports. The petition said, quote, without appropriate mitigations, the 5G deployment around airports could disrupt as many as 345,000 passenger flights, which would impact 32 million travelers, in addition to 5,400 cargo flights each year in the form of delays, diversions, and cancellations. So we're really seeing, you know, like everyone come out of the woodworks to try and delay this. Even, you know, the advocacy groups.
Yeah, it's getting so heated. And I think it is crazy. Another thing that I'm curious about is whether or not COVID has strengthened either side's case too.
True.
For example, Airline for America is saying that we don't want delays or cancellations. And amidst all the delays and cancellations from COVID, it could only compound the effects and the unhappiness of passengers and consumers and things like that. So, I mean, that strengthens the FAA's case and the aviation industry's case. But at the same time, I do see the FCC's argument, right? Brendan Carr, the FCC commissioner, said that this has been a long time coming. There was so much money invested in this. And when I was doing research for the episode, I could clearly see the bias in different articles, which I also found interesting too, because I usually don't see such strong biases in aviation articles and news either, I feel like. I saw an article that I can't remember where it was from right now, but it was blatantly kind of saying like the FAA had years and years to prepare for this. If they really wanted this to happen, they would have done the work looking into 5G technologies earlier and things like that. So this is just a little bit of a mess, I'm not gonna lie.
No, it absolutely is. You're right. So, and to top it all off, we saw in the last few days a statement from President Biden. He sort of took a, you know, neutral stance on what he called this pact, you know, that there is a delay now. He's calling it a pact and saying that it's a significant step in the right direction. He said, quote, this agreement ensures that there will be no disruptions to air operations over the next 2 weeks. So the delay is 2 weeks. And puts us on track to substantially reduce disruptions to air operations when AT&T and Verizon launches 5G on January 19th. Looking at some other things that have come out, other statements since, Verizon's CEO said to his employees that, quote, we felt that it was the right thing to do for the flying public. Which includes our customers and all of us, to give the FAA a little time to work out its issues with the aviation community and therefore avoid further inconveniencing passengers with additional flight delays. I thought that was sort of an interesting spin to put on it, that they're, you know, trying to just say like, oh, it's the right thing to do. And, you know, the FAA is working out its issues with the aviation community, like, oh, this is an FAA problem. I thought that was sort of an interesting way to put it.
Yeah, there's a very clear divide here.
Yes. Yeah, seriously. And looking at those FAA issues and sort of what they're, you know, what we might see them planning. The FAA has said it has plans to issue flight restrictions once the 5G signals are switched on near runways. This will allow altimeter manufacturers to demonstrate that they can function safely in the new environment, or that, you know, they might have to put out patches to equipment to shield it from interference. So definitely a lot to see in the next coming weeks on, you know, what, you know, potential back and forth we might see, or if it really happens, and what that will mean for, just like it said here, you know, instrument manufacturers going forward.
Mm-hmm. And the last point you made about how the FAA is planning to issue flight restrictions and allow altimeter manufacturers to adapt to potential 5G concerns, it really does sound like that the U.S. is following the direction of the EU and Canada too.
Right.
Like the FAA and the FAA equivalent agencies in those two countries are just adapting, just like how the FCC said that it's kind of in their court now to figure it out because 5G is happening no matter what.
I guess so. Seems it.
Yeah. But yeah, we'll see how it goes. It's definitely an interesting time to be tuned into aviation news. I don't want to say I enjoy. I think I am very interested in times like this when different agencies and different groups of people that usually aren't involved in the aviation industry kind of have a say and have an effect in how things play out.
All right, now moving on to our featured photo segment, and you can see the photos that we're talking about this week on our Instagram page. Kim, do you want to walk us through your photo?
Yes, so this photo looked really crazy to me. It's a picture of a flying art car at a show in Miami, Florida. It's designed by a company based in Slovakia called Aeromobile. The company says that this flying art car will transform from road to sky in 3 minutes, and it will be able to drive and or fly for more than 278 nautical miles. It is also equipped with an emergency ballistic parachute in cases of emergency, which is really crazy to me. I feel like this car is a little small, so I feel like if an emergency ballistic parachute came out of it, it would might go flying in the wrong direction, but alas, I don't know much about the nitty-gritty details of this car. But test flights began in September 2020, and the company expects it to enter into service in 2023, so I'm sure they have the necessary safety precautions in mind during their flight tests.
I know, that is pretty crazy to see this, like, drive-to-fly technology sort of coming out of the woodworks in, like, 3 minutes. Like, that's kind of crazy. I just wonder what the route is. Like, what is the ideal route for this car?
I was just gonna say that. Like, what will rush hour traffic look like?
Like maybe if you're flying from airport to airport, and then you're like driving like from the airport to home or something. Like, I don't know. Like, I feel like I don't really know how else I could see it.
I'm imagining sitting in traffic and then two cars behind you, a car just starts flying or something.
Yeah, it's like, I'm not sitting in this traffic. Like, I'm just going to go. So speaking of flying, well, all the things that we talk about on this podcast. So looking at my photo, it actually takes us back to the first news article that I talked about, looking at UK-based startup Autonomous Flight, and this is their Y6S Plus eVTOL. So I thought that it was also very interesting that they're like a UK-based company and, you know, they're putting all of their specs into like terms of flying from London to the northern UK and stuff like that, but their mock-up photos are the like of it flying in the New York City skyline. But I did think that it was just a very cool photo, like, and it's really crazy to think like that this is like what we might be seeing someday, like these little like these little eVTOLs like just flying above major cities like this. So I just thought it was pretty cool to sort of put an image to some news that we might be seeing pretty in the next couple of years.
Yep.
So yeah, props to them for maybe making it happen.
And just a reminder, if anyone is interested, Ashley did say that the company is inviting prospective customers to place pre-orders for this crazy looking 6-seat eVTOL. So, you know.
True.
The potential's there. The opportunity is there.
Get your down payment in now.
All right. So that wraps up our episode for this week. As always, thank you so much for listening, and we'll talk to you in the next episode.
Thanks for listening.